you try to find a way when you want to do these things, because there might become a time that you've spent 15 years dreaming about it, and then you get out here, and then within 2 weeks, you're like, I don't like it.
A new place, a new home, for a while, let me feel alive. Nothing to hold me back, take my time. Just enjoy the ride.
Hey friends, this is Jessica.
And Will.
And you're listening to the Why Matters podcast, where we explore life lessons, things we all take for granted, and everything in between garnered from our decade-long full-time travel lifestyle.
Each week, we'll dig deep into the why behind the choices we humans make in life and the positive results yielding from a strong why.
If you're ready to spread your wings, have a laugh, and take the insights of full-time travelers into your everyday life, then this is the podcast for you. Hello, friends, and welcome to the Why Matters podcast. I'm Jessica.
And I'm Will, and I have to stop for a second here because we are still recording remotely where you are on one side of the screen, I'm on the other side of the screen.
Hi, honey.
But you are wearing something completely different than I expect you to wear at this point. It's green. It's nothing that I've seen you wear ever in my life, and this is really concerning me. Are you buying clothes on your hike?
Oh, yes. I go shopping every time I get off trail, and I buy green scrubs. Isn't that what every hiker does? I mean, it's kind of nature color, right?
You can go outside, just blend in. It's hiking camouflage.
So here's the deal. The place that we're staying right now for our 0 day, and a 0 day is when we take a day off from hiking, no hiking at all. And for most people, it's like rest. For Largo and I, it's work and school and all this other stuff. The lady does your laundry for you, and she gives you a set of scrubs to wear while you're waiting for your laundry to be done. And we've been here for a day and a half, so we've just stayed in the scrubs because they're really comfortable and we don't want to dirty our other clothing. That's my typical day. And then I go to the local ER and I perform open heart surgery and do some other things.
So what you're saying is at this point, you're in a lavish lap of luxury and you have someone doing your laundry for you and you're just sitting back and letting everything happen.
And someone's dressing me. No, actually, you know what I did today? Besides work and do and eat and normal hygiene stuff, I actually had to take our tent and rinse it out in a utility sink because the last time we were in it, we packed it up in the rain with mud and leaves and dirt and all this stuff. So that took me a bit of time. And that's a little complicated trying to wash that thing in a little sink and then hang it up. All the leaves ended up blowing out of it and it was fine. Then I took our, you know how you leave us a box wherever we're at? Will leaves us a box with our computer equipment and other goodies and stuff. I took a big tube of toothpaste and transferred some of that into our little tube. If anyone has a hack for that, let me know, because that was a nasty mess. Then I took our tortillas and plastered peanut butter all over them and rolled them up for one of our meals on the trail. And then I went to the hiker box, which is a box where hikers can leave stuff that they don't want and pick up stuff that other people have not wanted that they might need. And I picked up 2 stakes for our tent because we had lost 2 of them somewhere along the way. And I looked for another glove because my rain gloves, I lost one on the trail and they didn't have another one. Oh, I did all this in scrubs, so it looked pretty cool. No one saw me, but...
You are on the Appalachian Trail, for everyone in case they missed it. And you are currently sitting where?
I'm sitting in a place I can't tell you. I'll have to kill you. No, I'm in... Where am I? North Carolina.
Yep. And I'm currently in Virginia. And I am eagerly waiting your arrival, although next week we're going to see each other like face to face. And it's been a while.
5 days.
I know.
It's been a long time. It's been a long time since we've seen each other, like 16 years. No, it hasn't been that long. It's been long enough. We never go this long without seeing each other. So I'm happy that we're going to be seeing each other very soon. So as Will announced and we talked about in our last podcast, yes, Largo and I are through hiking the entire Appalachian Trail. And today we're going to give you a live report from the Appalachian Trail. So I'm not even sure where to start. Some of you did email you in some questions. Will has prepared some of his own questions that he thinks the answers might be useful to all of you listening. So I guess we'll just jump in. I feel a little out of sorts because I'm not used to much human contact and I'm seeing Will on the screen and I'm getting all excited because I miss him. So bear with me just a bit. Let's start off by saying, what is the AT? Because everyone refers to it as the AT. The Appalachian Trail, or Appalachia Trail is how it's actually should
be careful.
Be pronounced.
A lot of people get into like real big controversies when you say it one way or the other. The purists will say Appalachia, and then the people who just grew up saying it whichever way they want will say it whichever way they want. And a lot of the ways is the Appalachian Trail. Appalachian. Look at me. I can't even say it right anymore. Appalachian, Appalachian.
I've heard Appalachian, Appalachian. I've heard Appalachian. I'll say it any way people want me to say it. I don't really care. I don't want to be rude and say it incorrectly. So just tell me how to say it and I'll say it. Or I'll just refer to it as AT. Anyway, it's the longest hiking-only trail in the world. And it extends around 2,200 miles between Springer Mountain in Georgia and Mount Katahdin in Maine. It passes through 14 states. We've actually are only on the second state, but we're going to get all the way up. The trail was first proposed in 1921, and it was completed in 1937. And every year, the mileage changes just a little bit because they modify the trail, or maybe there's some, I don't know, something that needs to be fixed on the trail, and so they reroute it or whatever. So this year, when Largo and I are hiking it in 2024, the mileage is 2,197.4 miles, and we have not gone a fraction of that yet.
So you'll be going through all the 13 original colonies plus West Virginia. And for us, I guess, as a family, you don't go through South Carolina at all, right? So it's basically, it's all the way up and you hit Tennessee and West Virginia. So sorry, strike that. You don't go through 13 original colonies because you don't go through South Carolina. However, you do touch Tennessee and you hit West Virginia. As a traveler, have you ever been to West Virginia? Have you ever enjoyed the great state of West Virginia in your lifetime?
I think I've driven through it. I think. I don't even know.
I don't know if that qualifies. Does that really qualify?
I know. I definitely haven't visited. And I don't know how long we're in the state on the trail. So I don't know how much visiting I'm going to do. I might just be hiking right through it. Who knows? But I will keep you guys posted. Okay. We'll circle back on that. And on the vlogs, we'll give an update of where we are, how long we're in the state, how many miles and all that kind of stuff to make it a little more clear. I wish I had something more accurate to say right now, but I haven't researched states beyond because I'm just trying to get through the states I'm in, if that makes sense. So how did the trail begin? The trail was conceived by Benton McKay, who was a forester who wrote his original plan called An Appalachian Trail, a Project in Regional Planning, shortly after the death of his wife in 1921. And McKay's idea detailed a grand trail that would connect a series of farms and wilderness work-study camps for city dwellers along the Appalachian Mountains. Hiking was an incidental focus of the plan, so not part of the original, but it evolved into something really massive. And Largo and I were just talking about this on the trail the other day because I was saying, can you believe, I still can't believe that you can walk all the way from Georgia to Maine. When I see trails like this, I just find it remarkable.
This sounds like exactly what I would do if something happened to you after you passed away. I would not do anything else except for decide to go for just a really long walk. And this guy basically went ahead.
Oh, I thought you were going to say you were going to create your own trail.
Well, that's the thing. I would create like the Jessica Suero Memorial Trail and it would go around the world.
That's super romantic. Oh my gosh, we're so weird. Okay. So what Largo and I are doing is people that hike on the trail call themselves, if they're going to hike, if they're looking to hike from Georgia to Maine, they call themselves through hikers. And to be considered a through hiker, you have to walk the entirety of the trail in a calendar year, so in one season. And there's different ways that you can be a through hiker. You can be a nobo, which is someone who's going northbound, a sobo, which is someone who's going southbound, so from Maine to Georgia. Then there's a flip-flop, which is really interesting. So it would be like Largo and I getting as far as, say, New York and realizing we're not going to make it to Maine before it's freezing. So we stop in New York, we go up to Katahdin, and then we start coming south to meet where we stopped. And it's still considered a through hike. And then there's these very, very fascinating people, and I've met two of them so far, who are called yo-yos. And the yo-yos hike all the way up to Maine and turn around and come back down. I don't know if they do it the other way too. They could, but it's basically a year commitment. And that's really fascinating to me. I mean, I never could imagine myself hiking for 6 months and I'm doing it, but a year, that's like unbelievably extreme.
I find it so hard to think about that because like whenever we did a hike that was from one point to the other, and it seems like you can really find yourself into a trap in this whole thing because like if you hike the whole way, all the way through, and you're not necessarily taking a long break, and you're just continuously walking. I only say this because I'm not there, so I have no idea what the vibe is like on the trail, but you can probably get a gauge. Is there like an egalitarian thought about whether if someone does it all the way through versus someone who's like doing X, Y, and Z? Because there's also like people that do section hikes.
So far on the trail, I have not experienced anyone going, oh, they're just a section hiker, or they're a weekend hiker, or they're a day hiker. Like not at all. I haven't experienced that. Now, that doesn't mean that there aren't people that think they're better than other people because they're through hiking or they're trying to through hike. I just haven't come across anyone like that. And To be honest, if I came across someone like that, it would be a very short-lived conversation because I'm just not into people looking down on other people and what they're doing versus what they're doing themselves. I'm more introspective and challenging myself against my own ability rather than what other people are doing. However, this does lead to that this hike, this through hike, has a very low success rate. Depending on what source you cite, I've seen anywhere between 15 to 25% of the people that start actually start and want to hike the entirety of it, actually make it. And then the numbers are between 3,000 and 4,000 people that actually begin. So let's just go on the high end that 25% of them make it. That still is not a very high percentage with when there's over 3 million people hiking parts of this trail every single year, doing sections and weekends and day hikes. And the through hikers are a pretty big number from what I can see, but a low success rate. And it happens, right? There's a lot of, I'll talk a little bit later about why people don't make it.
So you're seeing 3,000 people, or at least that's what the stats say. You know, I guess it varies every year, but how many people are you seeing a day?
I haven't seen that many people. So apparently I'm in what they call the bubble, which is like the period of time where a massive amount of people start, which is as much as 50 people per day. And on any given day, we normally see between 5 and 10 northbound through hikers. That's it. There's been 2 days where we haven't seen any northbound through hikers at all on the trail. So we're in this bubble, and we do end up seeing like 15 or so tents at certain shelters when we get there for the evening. But I don't know where these people are coming from because we don't see them on the trail. It's very interesting because I'm seeing other reports like online and on Facebook groups that there's massive amounts of people out here and we just aren't seeing it. So we must be in like, I don't know, the Jessica Largo bubble or the Sunshine and Captain bubble. I don't know. It's very, very odd.
Because these trails aren't exactly just meant for Appalachian Trail through hikers. These are trails that everyone can access throughout the year. And if you have someone who's living locally and they just want to go for a hike for the day, they can be part of this hike. You just don't know whether they're through hiking or not.
They're often carrying bigger, heavier packs. And the section and day hikers and weekend hikers, the weekends are really fun because there's a lot of people on the trail, are very kind and often give snacks and treats and are curious about the through hikers. They'll stop and talk to you and ask you if you're through hiking. And through hikers have, you don't have to wear it and you don't have to register, but you get a little triangle yellow thing that denotes your number that you started on the trail. So there's someone out there that's number 3,000 or number 4,000 or whatever for the seasons. And usually people will look and say, oh, are you through hiking? Are you through hiking? And then they'll strike up a conversation with you. Now, it typically takes 4 to 6 months to complete this journey. Unless you're running it, there are some ultra runners who run it and race and try to break records every day. I think there's a girl coming southbound right now, so I hope we run into her. And Largo and I think are on the 6 month track for that, to be honest, because we do have to get off the trail for 3 weeks in May to go to Los Angeles for him to take some exams. So, and then we'll come back. Hopefully we won't lose our trail legs because we're starting to feel like we've got them right now. They're starting to kind of hit us hard. We're hitting 15 miles a day. And then starting on the weekend, we're going to up it to 20 a day. But the reasons that people, I hate to use the word quit, but that's what they say on the trail. But the reasons that people stop the trail, that start and have full intention of going the entirety, according to Trek.co, 42% have a major injury or illness. They haven't properly stretched, or they have previous injury that's becoming re-injured, or they get the norovirus? I don't know what it's called.
Norovirus.
That virus is going around right now. So people get that and they get sick and get discouraged and get off. 20% are minor injuries or physical problems. And I don't know. I don't want to kind of speak out of turn of what that could be. Maybe it's an old injury that's surfaced. I guess a major injury would probably be like a broken leg or arm or torn something, and a minor injury might be a previous injury that's resurfaced. 15% get off because of money, time, or family concern. Maybe they miss their family, they've run out of money, they're going slower than they thought they would, and they have to get off at a certain time to maybe go back to work. And then another 15%, it's mental fatigue or loss of interest. And mental fatigue, we have not had it yet. I hear it does really happen. It can be pretty profound. And people don't expect it. They just are like, oh, I'm not really enjoying it and whatever. And then they find out that it's a mental fatigue. There was a study by Embry-Riddle, and that's actually where Largo is doing his dual enrollment program at Aviation, which revealed that 60% of all the dropouts, I guess that's the word they're using, in the study quit the trail somewhere before the first checkpoint in Damascus, Virginia, northbound on mile 471, which is actually where Will is sitting right now.
Hello.
Hi, that's less than 20% of the way to Katahdin. So 60% of the people drop out before they even hit 500 miles.
You see, I find that super interesting that's only 15% drop off due to mental fatigue, because I would say that would probably be the biggest reason why people drop out, because you're dealing with different weather, you're dealing with rain, you don't exactly have the perfect conditions every single day, and it can really be taxing on your mental spirit.
I'm surprised at that number too. I thought mental fatigue, because major injury or illness is almost 50% of the reason people drop out. It's 42%. And I would have thought the mental would be up there as well. Now, there's all kinds of different studies, different percentages. This kind of seems to be consistent, but Trek.co had the most thorough breakdown and several different ways that they broke it down and other percentages of things, which I thought was really interesting. But that was really surprising to me too, Will, because I wouldn't think that if you're coming out here that you would have a major injury or an illness because you would have been training or preparing, knowing what you're getting into. Maybe that's not the way it rolls. Maybe people aren't doing proper training or research. I just don't know. So I don't want to comment on it.
How many days have you looked at yourself and said, this just isn't fun right now? And if you get a lot of those not fun right now moments and they just pile up one after the other, after the other, after the other, especially early on in the trail when it's still spring / winterish and there's no relief in sight for things to get better, you have to be super strong to want to go ahead and continue this. You have to have this idea that this has either been a lifelong dream or there's a bigger why that's going on inside of you.
I think for Largo and I, it takes a lot to break us. I've never thought that we would be leaving the trail because of mental fatigue. Now, I hate to say we won't be because I don't know what we're in for. We've never done this before. But after 10 years of full-time travel, we've had a lot of mental fatigue and a lot of challenges. And so emotionally as well. So I feel like if something was to prevent us from continuing, I think it would be definitely physical versus mental. Even on the worst of days, I still don't want to quit. I don't even consider it. Even the day where we were freezing in the rain, I don't think I've ever been that cold in my entire life for that period of time. And standing in the rain, wet and freezing, I never went, no, this isn't working out. I just thought, we'll get in the bed. I'll take a hot shower. I'll get in the bed and I'll be fine and I'll recharge. But everyone's different, right? The fears and concerns that I had before we started out. We made this decision very spontaneous. It was like December 4th or 5th or 6th or something like that. This is an adventure that's a bucket list item for people. They plan for it for 10, 15 years, or they dream of it. And then they plan for two and three years, research it and get all the gear and watch all the vlogs and read all the books. So to do this so spontaneous felt a little scary, but we're so used to doing things in life before we're fully ready. We always take the safety precautions and we do enough research to get us out the door. And then the rest is on the job training. So I was a little nervous about the things that weighed on me at night going, should we do this? Was one, doing it without you, Will, because I know I can do hard things and I've done things without you, but I like doing them with you. And we've always done these things together and we have our roles of who tackles this and who tackles that. And now I've had to reevaluate that and figure things out along the way, which has made it a little more difficult. We're risking a lot being out here in the sense of finances and our business. You're left to do a lot of my work. I'm only working about 20 hours a week, plus the shooting that I'm doing. So maybe I'm working maybe 30. And we're not having time together as a family, you, Largo, and I. And so those are all like things that weighed on me and just made me think, are we going to be able to do this? But it felt right. And you and I both agreed that it was right. I'm going to say those concerns aren't still there. They still are there. My concern about not planning for years like everyone else, yeah, that's gone. That was out the door the first week. We learned how to do everything. Are we perfect? Do we know everything? No. But the basic stuff like learning how to use the stove and how to filter water and how to put up our tent, we got that and all those fears and worries went away. And I don't even have that much of a fear of the bears anymore because I know they're not interested in people. I still think about like our finances, our business, surviving all this, our time together, missing you and missing our family unit. But other than that, the mental aspect of that has pretty much gone away.
I feel like this is a lot like when we did the Camino, where every day was a walk / working at night. And I feel like because of the fact that it's just you and Largo now, and I can keep most of the things going on together. There's certain administrative stuff that you do in our life that you manage. I don't have enough of a grasp of what's going on. I kind of hope that as things go on for you along this trail, that you can disconnect a little bit. When you say that you're working 20 hours a week, that number goes down because for something like a 6-month hike like this, we are very lucky that you can do this where you can take this time now when you have to wait to retirement to get this happening. And at this point, you're almost in between where you can be super young, frivolous, and not saying, oh, I got to be careful because I might just twist an ankle. You're in this tween zone. My want for you and my concerns is that you think too much about keeping the business going on as opposed to being able to be present in the moment. Does that make sense?
It does. And I think that from someone who's a workaholic and is super passionate about our business and what we do, and I love working in our business, it's been very difficult for me to pull back from working. I don't know how many hours I typically work, probably 60 hours a week, sometimes more, to pull back to this modified schedule. But I think it's good. I'm enjoying it. I'm not going to say it's easy for me. I do feel like that kind of pit in my stomach. Like, I should be doing more. How can I do this? And I really hyper-focus on our 0 days to get work done and make sure that you're not carrying so much of the load, that you're not sleeping either. There is a bigger why behind why we're doing this. And that always moves to the forefront when I'm feeling a bit of anxiety about work and our business and our finances and all that stuff. It's hard when you're a workaholic. We're doing this to have time in nature and time to think and time away from tech and social media and time together and time to connect with our authentic self. And so it all makes sense to me. I'm trying to be kind to myself in that area and allow that process to happen. And I'm getting to do this in another grand adventure with Largo. We know how fast this time goes away, right? We get 18 years, give or take a couple. Maybe we'll get a couple bonus years. But in general, Avalon launched and we got one other summer and that was it. And so I want to make the most of this time with Largo and I want to set a good example. So one of the things I worked on in 2023 was some patterns that were not serving me mentally in a self-care nature. As a result, one of the things that I identified was that I needed to take these work breaks and I needed to model better work-life balance for my children so that they didn't grow up and just work, work, work. And I know you're listening to this and you go, oh my gosh, you guys have great work-life balance. You've done all these adventures, this and that. You've lived a full life. And we have lived a full authentic life, but we still work an insane amount to keep this life going. And I'm trying to find a better balance to model that for my children now that they're branching into adulthood. They know how to balance it better than Will and I have shown as an example. So I'm a work in progress. I'm glad you're thinking about that a lot, Will, and encouraging me to take more time for me and whatnot and enjoying the journey. I wear this necklace that my mom got that says, enjoy the journey. And I really try to be present in all journeys and taking a nice long hike. It's really helping that for sure.
It's interesting because you say that you think that everyone thinks we have this great work-life balance. And I always think back when we actually had a stationary life and those were like the easy times where everything was routine. Everything was on autopilot. You knew what every day was going to look like because every day was the same. As we go ahead and we live our life and we throw randomness to the air and see what sticks, we have to work that much harder to make this life continue on. We've never worked harder in our lives until we started full-time traveling, if that makes sense.
And we started our own business. The two together and homeschooling, right? But kind of the trifecta, yeah. I don't think I've ever worked so hard, but I also have never been so completely and utterly fulfilled in knowing that I am on the path I should be on in life. And I don't look at life and go, oh, I should have done this. I should have done that. Like I feel very connected and very where I need to be.
But you're seeing now a bunch of other people do it. You're meeting 5 to 10 people a day. I'm assuming that they don't just walk you by, like they say hi and you have like casual conversation. What are you seeing in the other people and their spirit as like why they're doing it? Is there anything that's really just compelling on their end? I'm sure everyone has their own story.
This is the Why Matters podcast. And pretty much the only question besides where are you from and what's your trail name that I ask people is, why are you doing this? So where are you from? What's your trail name? Why are you doing this? And so it's really a whole bucket of kind of goodies of different things. Some people are in a transition in their life. Some people have just hit retirement and this has been a lifelong dream. Some need a mental break from the chaos of their life. Some are trying to answer a question that they have about a direction or a path or whatnot. Some are using nature as rehab or therapy. They're pretty candid about that. Some are using it as a weight loss program or reward for weight loss or a way to keep the weight off that they've gained. It runs the whole gamut. And the majority of people I'm seeing out here that are falling into these categories are between, I would say, 22 and 28 over retirement age, maybe early retirees or average age retirees, but like 59, 60 and up. And you can break down everything I said and get an idea of who's fitting into which category age-wise. And there's definitely more men on the trail than women, but there's a lot more women than I thought there were going to be on the trail. So people have many different reasons. I've talked to a couple of people who are like, I don't really want to share my reason. Some people are down and out and really struggling in life, to be honest. And they're positive and wonderful and loving and emotional and feeling people. And maybe that's why a nice long walk is so beneficial for people that are deep feelers. I'm a deep feeler. I'm an HSP. I understand what it's like to need a break from peopling, humaning, passioning, whatever you want to call it. So I'm very, very intrigued when someone wants to share the deeper side of why they're doing this. And if they allow me to vlog it, I vlog it because I want to share their story. You and I really love that when we vlogged the Camino too, asking people why they were doing it. I loved hearing people's stories. It's so intimate and so connected when people share their deep side of why they're doing anything in life. I would much want to rather hear about that than their job or their ex-wife or their crappy childhood or whatever the case may be. I want to know what's inside them that's making them do something so extreme to go out and walk in the woods for 4 to 6 months, right? And sleep in tents and poop in the woods.
In the Camino, we would talk to other people and see what their story was like. But we never saw anyone as we were going along the Camino that would actually had to drop off for any reason. If they did, it was because they had some logistics problem. But no one really just said, I can't deal with the mental fatigue because the Camino is a whole different animal. Or there's no one that had any massive injuries. So, I mean, have you seen anyone who's dropped off? And if so, what like, can you correlate that to like their why? Is there maybe would you see that there was someone who had a not so strong why as to them dropping off?
So I've heard in the shelters at night, people talk about, oh, so-and-so dropped off and why they dropped off. But I've personally only talked with one person who has said, I'm done, like right to my face. We were crossing a road and a bunch of us stopped, take off our packs. And the one guy said, I'm done. And I said, oh, you're done for the day. Have a nice day. I hope we see you again. He goes, no, I'm done, done. And of course, I said, oh, why, if you don't mind sharing. And he said that he had been dreaming of this for 15 years and he was just not enjoying it. And it wasn't what he thought it was going to be. And it's funny because another guy later in the day, completely unrelated to this conversation, said to me, you really don't know what it's like until you get out here. You can read all the books, you can watch all the videos, the documentaries, the vlogs, you can talk to people, you can look at the Facebook groups. You really don't know what you're in for until you're out here putting one foot in front of the other. And I had a tremendous amount of respect for this guy because he did it. He's not sitting on his lazy boy wishing he would have done it. He did it and realized it wasn't for him. But the flip side to that for me was that 15 years ago, he wanted to do it. So, you know, we did a whole podcast about not waiting till it's too late. Maybe you should have done it. Maybe the timing wasn't right. Maybe the mortgage, this, whatever that. But you try to find a way when you want to do these things, because there might become a time that you've spent 15 years dreaming about it. And then you get out here and then within 2 weeks, you're like, I don't like it. And I respect that he said he didn't like it and he didn't have anything to prove and he got off the trail and now he's checked that box. And he doesn't have to live with regret of not doing it. So he's the only person that I have actually talked to myself. I've heard of other people. This is much more than just a hike and walking out in the woods. It's a test of resolve. It's a physical and mental challenge. You have to learn some basic wilderness skills. You have to be a weather navigator. You have to be willing to live extreme and live in extreme temperature. And it's a lot of time with yourself and your thoughts, looking deep into your soul. That's quite frightening for some people. Even myself, like I've gotten in my head a bit and gone, why are you even going down this negative journey? Get yourself in a good space. You're out here in nature, circle back. And the long walk gives you the opportunity to do that, right? Why are people stopping? Could be any number of those things. Could be the weather is overwhelming. It could be that they mentally just can't. There's so many different reasons. And I hope to chat with more people along the way who are saying that they're done and why. But the stats are not really in my favor. If 60% are going to drop off by the time we get to where you are, I'm not going to see too many people dropping off. But I'm sure there'll be conversations in shelters. I'm not going to share someone's name unless they've obviously agreed to it. But I can share the stories of what people are saying, of why people have said they've gotten off. That makes sense.
What's the hardest part? Is it the mental or the physical?
So it's not the mental. I knew the mental wouldn't get us going into this, but I read this amazing book anyway called Appalachian Trials, The Psychological and Emotional Guides to Successfully Through Hiking the AT. And it's by this guy named Zach Davis. And it gave some other pointers and tips that helped. But most of the stuff in that book we're already doing with our life. So I'm not too worried about the mental aspect of it, and particularly the longer we're on the trail. I worry a little bit about the physical because I'm not in my 20s anymore, in 30s, and things don't always heal as well. I've taken a lot of precautions, taking a lot of supplements. I'm taping, I'm stretching, I'm doing all kinds of natural stuff to keep inflammation down and fatigue, and I'm resting my feet and all this kind of stuff. I would say that for me, for sure, and for Largo, the toughest part, and probably the only tough part at this point, is weather, and it's cold weather. And it's not even hiking in cold weather. We're okay hiking in the cold. Even on our coldest day, I had all my gear on and I wasn't unbelievably freezing. I could still hike. It's waking up in the morning in your tent in the rain or the snow and being so cold, or sleeping in your tent where your whole sleeping bag and your liner is completely over your head and you're in there breathing to create heat. That's my Achilles. Like, I don't do well with cold weather. And we have really good gear. And we have enough of it, and there's no more clothing or anything that I can put on, and I can't carry a space heater and put it in the tent. So we just have to muscle through the weather. It won't break me, but physically, that's very, very difficult on both of us. And what we've done in those situations so far is if we see rain coming, rather than taking the whole day off, we hike as much as we can in the rain, and then we pop into a place to sleep at night. Just in these first couple of weeks to stack the cards in our favor and set us up for success. These things won't be as accessible as we go along. The weather is obviously getting warmer. We're in April now. We haven't had a cold night. We actually had a warm night the other night. The forecast for the next couple of days looks like it's 70s and 80s. So I'm not too worried about it. And mentally, it's not getting me mentally. That's not to say I haven't had bad days or I'm not going to have bad days, but the mental aspect is spot on for both of us right now.
Are you thinking at this point that there's nothing stopping you from getting to Katahdin, or is there anything that might derail your journey? Because you said in the beginning, you only thought about this come mid-December. And so this wasn't like, I need to get this done before I die type of item on your list. A lot of people just say, that's it. I'm not going to stop until I finish because I've been dreaming about this since I was born. Is that you and Largo at this point?
That's Largo for sure. I envision that if I get injured, he's going to throw the Garmin on me, hit SOS, and then keep going, and someone will find me in a couple hours. Joking aside, I don't feel any need to. This is going to really upset some people because they say you have to have a do or die attitude to make it to Katahdin. Like I said earlier, I'm really trying to find joy in the journey and the space and enjoy right where we are at each day and each moment and enjoy this time with Largo. I want to make it to Katahdin. I'm quite competitive. It's never been like I got to do this bucket list item. However, it's a cool thing to do, but I'm not really one of those people like, oh, I want to tell people I did this. I want to know that I can physically and mentally do it and that I did it with my son and that the destination was not the win. It was the journey along the way that was the win. And everything that we accomplished and everything that we talked about and everything that we discovered about ourselves individually and as a mother and son. And for me, that's grand success. So I don't have any intention of quitting. And I shouldn't say quitting. I don't like that word. It's so programmed in us, right? I don't have any intention of stopping. I want to make it there. But if I have to pick between enjoying the journey or making it there, I'm picking enjoying the journey with him. I'm stronger than I thought I was. So I've had a lot of chronic medical pain for years. Some has been diagnosed. Some is a mystery still to doctors. And I have never felt as good as I feel out here walking all day. I'm not going to say I don't have any aches and pains. My Achilles are bothering me a bit. I had a little pain in my knee the other day. But in general, the chronic pains that I feel day to day, and Will knows because I don't sit around complaining about it, but I deal with chronic pain for years now, probably almost a decade. I'm not feeling it out here. So all I want to do is just keep walking for the rest of my life because I feel great. Carrying my pack is not hard. Discoveries, gosh, that's a deep question. And I don't think at this point, to be honest, even though we're walking all day, I don't know how deep I've thought because I've just been trying to find our groove and survive and be good parents and honor Largo and make sure we're on the right trail and that we're not going to be stuck in bad weather. And a lot of that stuff is just coming second nature now. So now we can dig a little bit deeper into ourselves, both of us. But until this point, it's just been survival. I've realized that, not necessarily about myself, but that I really want to host a lot more group hiking trips. I absolutely love this. Absolutely love this.
So you can see yourself hiking with a group on the AT.
Yeah, well, not for 6 months. That's too difficult in a group, right? Because everyone has different speed and whatnot. But like a week trip or something would be great. Maybe base camp in Patagonia and the Dolomites and a couple more Caminos. And yeah, I've got all kinds of things mulling around in my head. I think we circle back on that question because I'm still in baby step mode, right? I'm still learning to crawl before I walk. And I haven't had any grand epiphanies at this point, except that I am stronger than I thought I was. And my body is really pulling through for me. And I was a little concerned. As you know, I was a little concerned about that to begin with.
What about the fitness level? Are you seeing everyone ultra fit, or is it just varied?
Oh, no, it's totally varied. Totally, totally varied. Yeah, there are some people that are very overweight, and then some people that look like they could run this. It runs the whole gamut. And just because someone looks like they can run it or they're overweight, there's no preconceived notion of how far they'll go or how far they won't go. This trail, in my opinion, is for everyone. And no one should be judging how someone else is doing their hike. And I have seen that, to be honest, on some Facebook groups, and I've seen it on a couple of vlogs, and it just really disgusts me how people are commenting on how other people are doing it, how they shouldn't be doing it, how they should be doing it, giving their recommendations, and even other hikers out here commenting on how other people are deciding to order their day or how they're starting, or they're not sleeping out in the woods enough, or they're sleeping out in the woods too much. I feel like we should just leave people alone and let them do their thing, because people are amazing and they will surprise us with what they can do if we support them and don't naysay them and be negative. So my little soapbox moment. What about you? No. It's my turn to ask a question. It's my turn. What about, okay, I'm going to pretend you are you and Avalon. What are you doing? Are you going to join us at all? What's the plan?
Eventually, when you're done with Largo's AP exams, I will probably spend a week or two on the trail with you guys. And I can't wait to see if Avalon during her summer break can actually spend some time as well. We have another setup with another ultralight tent and a sleep sack. We are prepared for this challenge. And I think it would be just like the greatest adventure for the four of us. Like you said, once upon a time, that last summer was going to be probably the last summer we spend all four of us, because now Avalon's doing an internship and everything else. I'm hoping that we can recreate some of that magic this summer as well, even if it's just for a week or two.
I'll be happy with a week or two. I mean, I hope we get more than that with you, but, and I'd like more with her, but I'm realistic to know she has an internship and other things going on in her life. And I miss her, but I know this is the natural path of life. And I know it's not the natural path of life for you and I to be separated like this. I really miss you being able to do this adventure with us. We always do this together. And I wish it was in the cards financially and logistical wise for you to be out here with us, because I think it would be even extra special. Largo is 16. He's a man. But there are still things that still need some guidance. Like, he's fearless. There's certain things we just can't be fearless on. We have to be calculated and be safe. And I give him the responsibility, almost as much responsibility as I would have with you and I out here. But certain things, like, he doesn't necessarily know when to take a break because he's more fit than I am, but we still need to take these breaks. And he's pretty good with proper nutrition, just fruits and veggies. I got to push a little bit. We take a veggie supplement and we bring fruits after our first day in a town. When we come back on the trail, we try to carry as much fruit as we can. But it's a little different kind of, especially because I'm not used to doing all of this without you. We have our separate roles, that if you're listening, you're thinking about doing this just as a one parent with a kid that's a tween or younger, there's a lot more responsibility, I think, that goes along with it than, say, like going with a teenager that I'm with, or going with two parents and a teen or tween or whatever. So definitely something to think about along the way. I know people are chomping at the bit right there, and I know I'm doing a lot of the talking because I'm out here, but what's going on with the vlog?
It's going to be daily.
It's not going to be daily. By the time they listen to it, it's daily. By the time they listen to this podcast, because it's going to release in 5 days, we will have had some vlogs out, correct?
That's right. It will be on a daily basis going out. And the way that we're doing it is because now you've been on the trail for a little bit. I've gotten some of the footage that you've taken care of. And by the way, it's awesome. I'm editing it to the point that it can be released. We do this for a couple of reasons. Number one is that we don't want to let everyone know exactly where you are in trail, because there are sometimes the creepers that sit out there and like trying to sort of time your path and get in touch with you. And they're just not exactly well-intentioned. We're trying to have a little anonymity as to where you are in the trail. But second of all, I think by the way that we're setting up the whole vlog setup is that you give me the footage and then I edit it and then we review it and then it goes up. There's naturally a buffer between when you shoot it and when it goes up. So at this point, I think we have enough of that in the can so that we can start releasing the vlogs. And I'm excited.
And your edits are so good. It's so weird that you're able to edit like it feels like you are right here with us. Because typically you're with us, you're doing a majority of the shooting. And to edit it, you were with us, so you know the story. But it seems like, it feels like, maybe because we've traveled together for so long and we've been together for so long and we work and parent and travel together, that our minds are just intertwined. Because what you produce in the vlog is how it was there, but you add an extra element that just elevates it to such a level that I don't know. It has me reliving it. And it's not typical of me to want to rewatch a vlog after we've lived it, except for through the edit process. And so I'm finding that I'm super excited to watch these after you've edited them to kind of see them through your eyes and your vision.
I think we're in a really good position because I can edit it because of the fact that I'm not on trail. There's a lot of people who actually edit on trail, and my hats are off to them because I can't imagine walking from 7 a.m. to 7 p.m. and then having to edit a vlog to go out the next day.
It's amazing because I was talking with our friends Chica and Sunset and asking her how she did it. She said, we were done hiking by 4 or 5, and it was my kind of get in my tent, relax, and do it and whatnot. And I was thinking, oh my gosh, I could never do that. But then I was like, wait a minute, I can't do that because I'm working too. So I could never kind of edit as well as work, as well as hike. We haven't met anyone else out here who's working, but there's a lot of people, like you said, who are editing at night, which is the equivalent of the work I'm doing at night and on my days off. And it's not easy, right? It's the easiest part is to just come out and walk and not have any other responsibilities. So hats off to anyone who's documenting the story. I totally agree with Will. Like, it's amazing that you're hiking and editing and doing all this.
There's some amazing stories, and I can't wait for you to see them because there's a lot of things that go right and a lot of things that don't go right.
Well, I was going to tell some stories right now, but Largo, we're in this small room and Largo starts his Dungeons and Dragons group in 5 minutes. So I want to make sure we wrap this up properly. We'll save the stories for the vlog or for another podcast. Thank you so much for joining us and listening to this Live from the Trail podcast, our first one. There will be others as things unfold. Not every week, but they will appear. The challenge for you is to go out and do something that's not all planned out, that scares you, that you're not sure you can do. And I hope that from sharing my fears and concerns and the stats on doing something like this and our rush to the finish line to get it done, how we're doing mentally and physically has provided some sort of guidance for you to go out and do those big things that you're scared of, because I was really scared too. I'm still a little scared, but not so bad, but I was really scared. There were a couple of evenings sitting in our kitchen when we were in Paris for those 4 months where I just felt like, can we do this? Is this going to work? I had tears in my eyes and Will was like, you've done things like this before, you can do it. So as Will always says, if we can do it, you can do it too. And I would love to hear where you guys are reporting back and telling us, how's it going? What are you doing? And how did it work out? As I reach out, reach out, reach out, reach out to the sky. Thanks so much for sticking around and joining our Podtowning community. If you could take a minute and follow or subscribe to the Why Matters on wherever you're listening. And while you're there, give us a 5-star rating and review. Plus, share an episode with a friend. We would greatly appreciate it. And remember, no one gets a vote on how you live your life. Don't be a dodo. Enjoying our content? Consider becoming a patron today. With as little as $4 a month, you can make a significant impact on our work. To learn more about the full-time traveling lifestyle, schedule a consulting chat today. And don't forget to follow us on YouTube at World Towning for the latest updates from the road and to get a glimpse at what we look like. I found my way. I was in the dark against it all, but made it through the day. Cause I found my way. I found my way. In bad times, I know I'll be okay. Thank you guys so much. And remember, don't be a dodo in your life because...
Because they became extinct because they didn't have someone in the chair watching over them and doing vlogs for them every day. No one told their story.
No one told their story. I love it, Will, because Will tracks us. So he tracks us on our Garmin and we'll be going up a really big hill and I'll get a text on my watch. It says, keep going. You're almost to the top. And I'm like, this is so nice because normally you're there. The hills are really hard for me, guys. I'm super fast on the straights and the downs, but the hills are hard. I'm like slow, slow, slow. And Will's usually there with me saying, you can do it. You can do it. So to get those texts is really nice. So thank you, everyone. Have a fabulous rest of your week and we'll see you here again next week.
Bye.